and welcome to a new episode of the Monday Mile podcast. This week, we took a little train trip up to the north. Today's guest is an MMA fighter, and on the exterior, well, certainly in the octagon, she's tough, feisty, and an absolute machine. She made her UFC debut in 2018, and along with her best mate, Paddy Pimblett, is tearing up the sport and putting the UK on the global stage. I'm in our home city of Liverpool, and in fact, the sun's just started shining. Woo. And I'm really looking forward to meeting the beautiful human behind that fighter's mask. It's Meatball Molly, Molly McCann.
What's going on?
How are you today?
I'm not bad, thanks. At least you've caught us whilst the city is, well, it's not shining, but it's not raining, is it?
It's glistening in comparison to how it has been.
Yeah.
I mean, the UK, the last week has just been ice cold rain, bit of snow and extreme winds.
Know,
so Liverpool has delivered the goods today.
Absolutely. The snow here, by the way, over the weekend.
I should have bought my snowboard and come a couple of days earlier.
You could have taught me.
Maybe not. We don't want to injure you.
I know.
So where are we heading today?
Right, so I am obviously known to be the biggest Evertonian around, so I brought you to Everton. And I'm going to just, this is where I normally run. So I normally go from the gym, run to Goodison Park all the way round and then back. But I won't take you that far. I'm going to take us to a place called The View.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's a viewing point of the whole city. And you can see Wales from here as well, which is cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to the sights of Liverpool. You're extremely passionate about your city.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, you sent me some recommendations on where
did you land
go?
Last night or this morning?
Land.
Oh. That's what we say. Did you land?
When did you get I landed in? Yesterday.
Oh, did you? Yeah. You landed yesterday.
Yeah, I actually took myself to the spa.
Yeah.
And when you were messaging, I was already in bed, believe it or not.
Oh.
So might have to pick up on that recommendation.
Absolutely.
On the way back.
Absolutely.
When we fly.
Yeah,
from the train station, right?
When you're flying, yeah.
Now, yeah. We've had a few fighters on this podcast before.
Yeah.
Jade Jones, and we can't not mention another successful Scouser, Bianca Walkden.
Oh, she's one of my mates, actually.
Team GB Taekwondo medalist, of course.
Yeah.
And they all absolutely transform, including yourself. The game face comes on and they just want to kick you in the head. How do you find that split, two-sided persona?
Yeah, do you know what? It is quite hard, if I'm being honest with you, because sometimes, especially if I'm training and things, and the closer to a fight you get, the more like dialed in you've got that tunnel vision on what your job is, you become a lot more serious. You start forgetting about like the happy places and the fun times. And there's, say, me fiance Ellis, at the beginning of camp, I'll be all jokey, and she could say a joke and I'll find it hilarious. And then 2 weeks before the fight, she'll say the same joke and I'll be like, why is that funny though? And she's like, whoa. So it's really hard not just be able to switch it like that. Sometimes you take the bad mood home with you, or the controlled aggression, should I say, and the focus.
Controlled aggression, that's a really unique word. I've never heard that before.
I suppose that's what it is though, isn't it?
Because that's obviously not fair on your partner.
Yeah.
And you guys have your own ways of dealing with it. But I can imagine coming home after a really tough training session, it's hard not to bring it home into
yeah.
that environment.
I mean, that's one that I've had to learn. I feel like if you say fighters are very selfish, but what the athlete never thinks about is how it affects your family, your friends, just them having to walk on eggshells sometimes, because we don't just have like the pressure of the competition, you have the pressure of the media, the pressure of fighting for your country, for your city, and it's always eyes are always on you and you never kind of get anywhere to decompress. So what I've had to learn is like, if I'm feeling a certain kind of way and can't shake it, I go and walk the dogs and put some music on, just try and relax before you take it out on someone, because ultimately I do it because I want to be the best in the world. So it's my shit that I have to sort out, do you know what I mean? But don't get me wrong, there's some days where, I don't know, she could make me breakfast, walk the dogs, and I'd still find something wrong with it, do you know what I mean? And then there's some days where I check myself before I kick off. But I don't know, my mum and my nan and my uncle just know if I'm in camp, they're just like, have a nice day, shut the door, just don't even speak to me, just let me go. And
see ya.
Yeah, and I feel like families and friends and partners will realise that you don't take it personal, because outside of the pressure cooker that is a fight camp or training, the athlete would never be that way. I would never be that way, do you know what I mean? I'd just be like the happy-go-lucky Molly McCann, really.
You seem a very happy-go-lucky person.
Yeah.
You've obviously got this exterior persona.
Yeah.
You've got the nickname Meatball Molly.
Yeah.
Where does that come from? Because it is quite...
It's very unique, isn't it?
It comes across as like an aggressive power name. It definitely fits the bill.
Yeah. Just to stop you for 1 second, this is like a little tour. Welcome to Liverpool's Meatball Molly. Right there,
yeah.
That is, if you look at the Everton badge on the football shirt, that is the water tab with that on it. And
If
you can see that there's a crane there, and then that there's framework there, that's the new stadium. That's actually, I just live
so
there.
So you'll be down there soon, yeah?
Yeah. But what was the question again?
Meatball Molly.
I never had a student loan when I was at university, and shock to some of the listeners, I did go to university. I went to Liverpool John Moores.
Go on.
I know.
And what did you do a degree in?
It's like sport, recreation and physical education. So just learning from grassroots up to the elite level.
Yeah.
How to do it all and how to teach and how to coach and stuff. And when I was at uni, I had to work my way through, because obviously I didn't get a grant and a loan. So I worked at Subway. I used to do about 4 days in uni, three night shifts predominantly. So I'd do like the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 11 at night till 7 in the morning. And then I'd still manage to get one or two nights out in there whilst at uni.
Go on, girl.
I know. And
very important,
isn't it?
You know, growing up to express everything on the dance floor.
Yeah. And I also managed to still get 5 days of training in. So I'd normally go into the gym, especially after a Thursday night in Subway. And I'd go in smelling of meatballs. So Paul Rimmer, my coach, went, oh my God, it's Meatball Molly.
Love that. Where are we heading to now?
So now I'm taking you to the top of the brow, but this is where every great boxer has ever done sprints.
I should have come for a morning run here this morning.
I don't know. Well, you can come next time, come and do some pads.
Should we do it? I want to make my own little bit of history. You'd say I've sprinted this hill. Next time we come back, I'm going to sign myself up.
Absolutely, love. Tuesdays and Thursdays is when I do this run. But like I said,
so I'll stay open.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
You've got an extremely passionate in-ring approach.
Yeah.
Who's the person behind the mask?
Who's the person behind the mask? I feel like when anyone meets me in real life, or they get past the arm's length meatball and they get in, I feel like people are always surprised with how genuine and empathetic I am and sensitive. I think I'm the most sensitive person you've probably ever met. And I just really want an easy life and a life that's full of like wholesomeness, like make my own dinner, make my own food, enjoy time with my friends, go shopping for new shoes, obviously, walk the dog, just listen to music and watch the blues. That's it, really.
That sounds very relaxing.
So sometimes in camp when I'm pushing it to the limits, and I've done this, I always stand here and look and think, fucking love this place. There's nowhere else I'd rather be in the world, like, there's just not. You've got the Irish Sea over there, you've got the Wirral there, you've got our little skyline there, and then you can see, I'm not sure if that's Snowdon or Mulvamy, that's Wales, just wow, there.
You've definitely sold me Liverpool. So would you always run here?
Yeah, I'd always run here or in a place called Toxteth. Behind that tree is a big cathedral up at the back, just somewhere up there where they used to box, and I'd run around Sefton Park and the streets there.
Is it always this windy, Molly?
Yeah.
I'm losing my hat and my scarf.
Well, do you know, in one fight I broke my face and I broke my eye, and it always waters now.
Not the one. I've actually broken my eye socket as well.
We'll walk down this way, we'll walk down
this
way.
We've got the eye socket match. That's probably the only thing.
Yes, of course you can. Only if you throw that vape in the bin.
Yeah.
Oh, is that okay? Sorry. Yeah.
This is brilliant. Be you. Do you. You are the queen of Liverpool, Miles.
No problem.
So when it comes to the split-sided personality,
yeah,
you were just telling us about the person behind the mask.
Yeah.
Do you find it easy to let people in or not because of that sensitive approach?
Now I feel like it's probably sometimes been my detriment that I would believe people is probably as genuine as what I am. And then the higher you get up in the food chain, the more that differs, where people always have an angle and agenda to why they want to speak to you. So when my notoriety first kicked off and I got a little bit well known, I just presumed, everyone just wants to be my mate, this is amazing. And to be honest, no one was ever disloyal and no one really let me down. But I'll show you this. This is like a little octagon. I always come to this bit as well, which is a good little walk.
What goes down on the octagon?
Spinning elbows, love.
Yeah.
Wow.
You going to show me one?
You can just look on YouTube, can't you?
Talk to me about the spinning elbow.
The spinning elbow. So I feel like if you see anyone, I don't know in your field if you was very small for snowboarding. I don't know if people tend to be a bit taller, or is it better to be smaller and compact?
I'd say it's probably a little bit better to be smaller, but there's no right or wrong, you know.
Okay.
5'3", solid muscle, obviously. Can't you tell?
Yeah, I can't. Well, you're all in black, it's very slimming, so I don't know. But
thanks.
I am the smallest person in my division, and range is a big thing. So you have like kicking range, punching range, and like grappling range. So there's three different ranges, and people think sometimes, I don't know if people think I'm as intelligent as what I am, because they just see like I'm just like that non-stop, but I can't be in.
When you say that, for those people listening,
yeah,
they've just heard
what
does that mean?
That is in the closest range, pushing that person back in the danger zone.
Up in the grill,
I have to be there, because if I am here and the person's longer than me, if you just put your arm out as a fist.
Okay.
So you've still got a longer reach than me, because I still can't touch you.
So is that because I've got longer arms?
Yeah, that is because you've got longer arms.
Oh my God, I've just stamp the Olympic ring on your forehead.
Can you see it?
Yeah. There you go. Made my mark on the meat pool.
There you go. But like I say, if I'm in this range, I can win. And the longer people don't know how to fight close.
Yeah.
But if I'm here, mid-range or long-range, they can just keep me off and I can't get back in. So in that fight was the first time that I really put someone asleep with the elbow, because I pushed the pace so hard in the first and second round that the gas tank was empty in the last, and I knew I'd won the first two and she's going to have to come and try and finish me. So I had to weather the storm for the first minute, and I thought, you'll have 1 minute in you to come and get me, and then the crowd, and I am going to absolutely put it on you to death. And then she was showing a lot of gamesmanship. She's like dropping her hands, going, yeah, giving it all that. I thought, oh my God. She's trying to entice me into a fight, which I was like, you don't want to fight a fight with me, love, so stop. And then I do the spin and back kick, and she just like, she goes like that, and I thought, oh, you're fucking getting it. So then we get into a clinch position, and I thought, Molly McCann, with everything in your soul, fucking spin and get it. And I lifted her arm up and spun round like me life depended on it. And as I'm spinning through, she like just proper dabs to the floor and goes. And then I just remember, you see me face go, oh my God. And before I've even said God, I'm like gone, jumped over the fence, didn't know what to do. I'm like, where's Dana White? Running to Dana. There was like a UFC belt and a pint, and the people passed me both. Now, normally everyone knows I love a bevy, so I was like, I went to the pint and thought, no, I'm going to the belt here, because that was the best finish you'll probably ever see in female martial arts. It's like run around with the belt, through the belt. That changed my life forever, to be fair. And then I was lucky enough, well, I wasn't lucky enough, in the next fight I threw the same shot and it done the girl the same. So
that's your thing then? Take us to that moment where you lift the belt, you just
pushed.
What do you say? Because in snowboarding we say, you just stomped it.
No, I'd absolutely annihilated it.
Okay,
the whole,
there you go. Yeah. That sounds more efficient. You annihilated the girl.
Well, Paddy says, doesn't he, says I sent her to the shadow realm, which always makes me laugh, to be honest.
The shadow realm.
We go down there.
That's dark.
Look, I have had a really tough life, do you know what I mean? There's no secret in how hard it was for me growing up and getting through a really tough part of life. And then the odds was always against me, my postcode, where I'm from, the opportunities that were in my area, life. I just weren't supposed to get to where I am now or where I was in that moment. And to get that moment of elation when, if you imagine, you've always had a fight. Yeah, I've had to fight for everything my whole life, do you know what I mean? And then I've done this and I've just looked around and I was like, what have I just done? And I could see Eddie Hearn was like, whoa, Ronnie O'Sullivan, Wayne Rooney, like Liam Payne out of One Direction, Anthony Joshua, Derek Chisora and Dana White all stood there like, what the f*** has just gone on there? And it was so surreal, and I rode the crest of that wave for about 4 months, and then obviously my next fight is in UFC London again, and I finished, the fight card had been very like somber. No one really got a finish. It was like waiting for me and Paddy to come out. And I then again get a spin and elbow finish, and then I was much more composed within myself. And I was like, it wasn't a fluke, I've just done it again. Do you know what I mean? And I'm here and I'm established. And it's mad when you've spent your whole life trying to get to like the pinnacle of a sport, and I was kind of...
To be there
and to be present in that moment, do you know what I mean? Like we have come from like humble beginnings, they meant more to us, and I feel like everyone could see how much that meant. Like, I don't know, you could get Sir Chris Hoy when we win a gold medal, he'd smile and he'd have a little tear and he'd stand there. You know, it means the world to him, but it's like, well, I was supposed to do this, this was always made for me. And then, I don't know, something like that happened. No, I'm not saying a gold medal by any stretch of the means, but I mean, like, I get that moment, which I never thought I was going to get, and yeah, the reaction will be different. But every moment I was present in, like, The Rock made some big TikTok and this big tweet, and I remember I tweeted him saying, "Hey, Mr. Rock, please may I keep borrowing the people's elbow, it's doing me bits." And then he said, "Molly McCann, it's now called the meatball, it's officially yours." What? And then he made this big video of me and him, like a montage or a collage, whatever it's called, of me and him just like throwing, spinning elbows. And I was like, what? And then all these mad things like my...
It doesn't get any bigger than that. Well, let's be honest.
I mean, for some girl from Norris Green who just fights, I don't just get paid to have a fight, I don't think it really does it? But
now, one thing we've both got in common is we've got a book. That's probably about the only thing.
Yeah. Maybe now, the blonde hair, who knows?
You came out openly gay at the age of 25.
Mm-hmm.
How have you found that's enhanced your ability when it comes to performance? There is no longer a mask.
Yeah,
and you speak
about that
in your book.
Yeah, I mean, the book for me was about a coming out aid. Just so people, or younger people, it's not like I'm trying to force this on kids. This was more for like parents, I used to say coaches, teachers, social workers, if they could, you kind of can see, I can imagine at a young age, if you kind of, I think that child's going to be gay, or if they're a bit like in the teenage years and a bit unsure of where they are. It was just saying my story, so that people can think, right, even at an older age, like, you can still have the courage to do so. Because if we have it right, no one should ever really have to come out, do you know what I mean? It should just be an acceptance thing of, that's just fine and that's life. But it's still not kind of that way, to be fair. But
why do you think that even in this day and age, it isn't normal? It is normal.
Yeah.
To me, it's normal.
Yeah.
I see it as completely normal.
Yeah.
But there's still... Is it fair to say like a mist or a cloud around the acceptance and maybe just individuals in being comfortable because there's not enough public role models?
Yeah, I just feel like it comes down to what I've understood and come to realise is culture and religion have a makeup on how people are shaped and how people are formed. And there's certain religions where it's not accepted, or in their eyes, they've paraphrased it to mean that it's not accepted. And I just try and stay away from that conversation with them kinds of people on trying to educate them, because there's no educating someone like that. But there is, I focus on the positive and where I can educate a will. And like, I mean, I'm in a gym full of men, and when the real movement started to happen on about language and vocabulary and how you choose to speak, like, I have people in our gym who would never ever utter a homophobic slur, as no one should anyway, but sometimes you would still have people say something as a joke, or still, I mean, even the, say the sentence of, oh, that's really gay, as a derogatory term, gets thrown around a lot, and people would never think, oh, well, that might hurt someone's feelings, just saying the term gay as a derogatory term. But that's a reason why I never came out when I was younger, because of the language that I heard, and how being gay was always associated with a negative or weak or disgusting. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like my gym's really supported me, and MMA's really supported me in the fact of like being very accepting of anyone, man, woman, trans, gay, straight, whatever religion you are, you're accepted.
That's a beautiful thing, because it's not like that everywhere.
No, it's not. But sport is kind of predominantly, I feel like sport will be a safe space for the majority of people. And sport allowed me the space to be comfortable in who I was. And like you say, I didn't have to wear that mask anymore. And then life just becomes a little bit easier. Do you know what I mean? And you can be happy and don't have to be scared. You're going to be outed, or how people are going to treat you. And
you can feel you've got this really special light, warm energy, and I think that's evident in the messages that you share. But was there a period of reflection when it came to you coming out? Did you think, I need to reach a certain point in my career to actually accept this version of myself, sort of post achieving something? Was there a pressure to be someone before you came out?
Well, I couldn't even do it myself, to be honest, so I won't even take the credit. Like, my mum, I couldn't even speak the words. I had to get my mum to, like, tell everyone, to be honest with you, but there was nothing other than that, you know what I mean? And I spoke about it when I was asked. I wouldn't lead the conversation, and I wouldn't lead the topic on it. It was really hard, always, because I spent so long of my life being uncomfortable with who I was, that there was a lot of stuff in there that needed working out. But I really embraced it the best I could. The UFC helped me so much in trying to promote in Gay Pride Month. Not sure if you've seen, you have your name on your shirt, it's like a football shirt with your name on the back.
Yeah.
And they put them in rainbows, so if you want to show your solidarity, then you have your name. Yeah,
but that's awesome.
I think it's really easy to then see the homophobes. Do you know what I mean? To the ones who don't want to support. But yeah, I feel like, I don't know, it was really good in the fact that, look, I'm just trying to, I don't ever lead with the conversation, but when asked about it, I don't shy away from having it. But because, like, me and Ella still receive like homophobic remarks, looks, or like attitudes towards us still.
That's disgusting.
We literally just went to Germany, and me and Ellis didn't even get to be very close at all. And it wasn't due to the country or the people in the country. I think it was just due to the space we was in. People had never really been around gay people before, or queer people. And it was just really strange, because I don't know, you wouldn't get a man and a woman walk through the street and maybe be looked at like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know, with two women it still is. And even at, like, the more open I am about being gay and the higher stage that I get on, it still doesn't take away the pain of when you receive homophobia. Still hurts all the same.
I can imagine that's not only traumatic internally for both of you, but that can't then be easy on your relationship, because it then makes it awkward for you in public to express your love for each other.
Yeah, you're right. I feel like sometimes gay or queer people are kind of conditioned to maybe not always be as open, because people aren't just always respectable to it or susceptible to it. And but to be fair, I wouldn't probably want to see a man and a woman necking the face off each other, like kissing each other, do you know what I mean? Like walking down the street. So obviously we don't do that, but it's not always easy. And I feel like, regardless of being gay or just being a person in the spotlight, just having to hold yourself in such a manner when you're in the public is quite draining anyway, do you know what I mean?
What do you think it's going to take to change that? Not just within sport, but...
I don't know. I feel like if we had the answer, we'd know by now. We'd know how to change it. I just feel like healthy conversation and just people understanding and respecting other people's boundaries and life choices, do you know what I mean? Like, people who are extremists in certain religions, I probably wouldn't agree with their life choices and how they choose to live, but I don't push my opinion on them. I just feel like sometimes it needs to be a bit full circle, do you know what I mean? But
it's a give and take, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's just about respecting other people, and that's all. If the world is never going to be at a place, I don't believe, where people respect everyone for who they are and what they are, so...
The wind is picking up, Molls. Let's press on.
Oh, all right, love.
It is windy.
You all right, lad?
Love that. You pretty much know every single person we've walked past.
Well, I don't. They just know me.
They just know you. You are the Queen of Liverpool.
I think it's really important to be, like, a person of your city or... I don't know, I always get the question, what would you rather be, a world champion or the people's champion? And for me, I don't even need to answer it because you know the answer, do you know what I mean? So.
You are incredibly passionate about your city.
Yeah.
And that's evident in everything we've seen so far this morning.
Yeah.
Tell us about some of the work you're currently doing in giving back, because it's freaking cool.
I don't know, I feel since I've ever been 16, I've always coached the youth of the city, whether it's been football, whether it's been boxing, or whether it's been MMA. But the bigger the platform that I've got, I've then tried to help the struggling, impoverished parts of the city, just trying to help the kids and give them an opportunity and trying to get them out of the cycle and the repetition of what they're in, the negative cycle. And I've been working with Weapons Down, Gloves Up for a couple of years, and our culture and our motto and what we strive to do is to get kids out of bad situations, bring them into the gym, get them trained, and then put them onto an 8 to 12 week course.
That's huge, presenting an opportunity like that. You say it so casually, but 8 to 12 weeks is a huge investment and can make an incredible change. They say it takes 21 days to make or break a habit.
Yeah.
So providing a platform for that amount of time is pretty special.
Yeah, I think it is. I feel like we try and condense like a 2 year course. If the kids went to college, we condensed that into 8 to 12 weeks, you know what I mean? And the amount of kids that have got jobs and have gone on to retain the jobs and are working well. And a lot's been taken from this city, and whether people like to admit it, anyone who doesn't live in this city sometimes think, oh, Scousers, look at them moaning again, got a chip on the shoulder. But look, we was in a managed decline where the government didn't want us to do well. And then that is just literally, it's like a domino effect, and generation after generation, you've got kids growing up in poverty who don't know how to handle themselves. They're not given opportunities to better themselves. So it was this rinse repeat of this horrible system where a kid grows up, how do we eat? How do we bring money in? And they don't have the right avenues to do that. So then they choose the wrong avenue, which can be county lines where the kids are selling drugs, and then it can be like thieving houses or robbing shops, and just constantly just not being given a positive, a role model to even look up to, do you know what I mean? Sometimes the role models kids see is a drug dealer because they're the ones with the houses and the cars. But at Weapons Down, Gloves Up, we're trying to show them like, well, we have that, but look, it's took me 22 years of being in a gym and training martial arts or in sport to hit the big time. And obviously, I hit the big time, but I'm like earning more than just the average wage. Yeah.
And it's pretty evident that both you and Paddy have created this really unique aura within the city in being role models. We've seen it just now, you're waving to everyone, you've got this beautiful smile and approach to anyone that comes across you and Paddy. That relationship is incredible. Tell us a little bit about that friendship and how that's come about.
I feel like He's been doing MMA for about 12 or 13 years, and I worked in the gym 10 years ago. I'd been in and out of the gym before I started MMA, just boxing, sparring one of the MMA girls. And we just like used to say hello and that. And then when I started fighting, I really realised that mine and his mentality was very similar. And we are very similar in certain ways. Since all the promotions and all the fights we've ever fought together, we brought a different vibe in our personality, in our fighting style, and in the people who come to watch. When me and him fight, people just knew that we could pull it out the bag. Yeah. And whenever we fight together, I think we've done about 8 or 9 fights together, to be honest. But I think when we've done them together, it's been fucking...
another level.
I mean, you've seen that, yeah.
You just thrive off each yeah. other, right?
Yeah. Because we just get it, like mine and Paddy's culture would be very much like music, training, community, eating. Laughter, eating, drinking. Yeah, and just a family resolve. And it means the most to us to make people proud. And we just get it, like, I don't know. I feel like he's a bit more... we're controversial in our own ways, and we don't like cross each other's paths and certain stuff, because he's a male, I'm a female, and like I have my community and my charity work, and he has his and he does his, and I have
then to come together,
but then we come together, but we never like, we don't really cross, like we just come in line and attuned with each other, do you know what I mean? And it's, I don't know, I'm really, really lucky to have him, because I feel like he's helped catapult me, and I feel like
as a duo
we've done
transcended
really
the sport.
Absolutely,
and
yeah,
brought a change about to your city. Now
yeah.
we're walking back towards your gym.
Yeah,
I'll let you into a little secret. Traditionally we don't always do the Monday Mile
okay.
on a Monday morning.
Oh really? Yeah.
So what does your Monday routine normally look like?
Monday is the best day of the week, because it means I've had 2 days out the gym and I can't wait to get back.
Feisty, hungry yeah. for it.
Well, the gym's my safe space, and it has been ever since I've been a child, so it's the only place I like to be, really.
Not many people can say that about their work or their profession.
Well, it's not work. Like, the work is the recovery. Like, the work is aching, because it's not just like this. It's like boom into the floor. It's like, it'd be like you just face planting again and again and not landing, which I'm sure probably did happen in
yeah.
training.
Definitely done that yeah. a few times. But.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I'm very, my routine is probably what saves my life and saves my mental, to be honest. So every Monday to Friday, I wake up the same way.
Oh, probably. Give us a little insight. What's the routine?
I have one snooze, and yeah. in that snooze is probably where to hug Ellis.
Aww.
Because like that's the only time I can be soft and be open. And then once that's done, I put the music on. I'll have me energy drink, coffee or something. Then I write in me journal. I have a gratitude journal.
Beautiful.
Write me gratitude, what I'm grateful for. I write me mantra of who I am and what I'm about. And then I write
me
goals.
Can you let us into that?
My mantra is, I'm too fast, I'm too strong, I'm too fucking good, I'm powerful, I'm successful beyond measure, and anyone's life I touch, I change. So that's how it starts.
Go
and then
on.
And then I say, thank you God and universe, I'm so thankful because, or I'm so grateful because, and then a list. And then I write my goals, which is like my intentions, and then it's just like,
go get after it.
I'm going to shock the world, I'm going to describe the way in which I'm going to finish the opponents, and then
we'll keep that in here. Yeah, that's the secret stuff, right?
Everyone knows I'm just going to punch your head in. that's just always my aim, but the sequence in which I choose to do it, and then I date it, and then I sign it, and then I tick it off. I say thank you universe, it's already done. Then I have my brekkie, then I walk to the gym or ride or get a taxi with my music on. I make a playlist for every camp. Just the music has to be aligned with the style of fight and the style of meatball that I have to be. Yeah. I apply myself to training the best that I can. My movement patterns, fitness levels, go home, recover, and then get ready to train again.
Do you ever have a day where you wake up and you dread going in? Through soreness?
Yeah.
Through defeat?
Yeah, like...
We saw your eye socket in December.
Do you know what? It's never through being injured that I don't want to come back to the gym. Sometimes if I've lost the fight, my heart and my ego sore.
Yeah.
I just have to put my big girl pants on and get back to the gym and stop feeling sorry for myself and go and do what I was made to do.
So for anyone that's listening to this podcast that's maybe struggling with mindset or motivation or they've experienced defeat,
yeah,
how would you share your message of inspiration to help them get up and be the better version of themselves?
I am 11-5 as a professional. I've won 11 fights and I've lost 5. And people's career is normally very more just linear and mine's up and down. And if I can just say to you, the days when I'm low, I am lower than the roads. You can't get any more lower. And the only way in which positivity comes and success comes is just by turning up and showing up. And if you're present every day and just putting one foot in front of the other, keep stepping forward, then you'll get somewhere in the end. And I don't know, the famous Mike Tyson saying is like, motivation isn't going to get you to the gym every day, it's discipline. And you've got to love the things you hate. The things you hate, you've got to love more than the things you love to do. And when that happens, you will become successful. But life is life, and it's not all supposed to be rainbows and butterflies, do you know what I mean? It's not always enjoyable, but the sunshine always comes after the rain, so you've just got to keep pushing through.
The sunshine always comes after the rain. Well, that's certainly true this morning.
I know.
We did get a little bit of sun.
I know. Don't blame it on sunshine.
Molly, I think we've got to wrap up our little stroll here because we've got to get you back to the gym.
Oh, I know. I've got to go and hez-hez now, haven't I?
What's a hez-hez?
So, like, it's like a common joke where people go, like, when they throw a punch and they make that noise, yeah, they go, hez-hez. So, we just call it hez-hezing.
Hez-hezing?
Yeah.
Bit of hez-hezing.
Going for a hez-hez.
And what does today's training day have in store for you?
Well, my fight camp starts on Monday next week. So this week is all about testing. So today I'll be testing my rounds, my lung capacity and striking. And then I'll be doing my one rep maxes, my VO2 maxes, my velocity and acceleration, and my rest and metabolic rate, my body mass index, and my lactate thresholds. That will all be this week.
So set the baseline.
You know the drill
now.
You know the drill.
I know the drill. Mabel Molly McCann, it has been an incredible pleasure having this opportunity to walk your city.
I know, yeah. I've enjoyed my time, love. Thanks very much.
Hopefully a nice little warm-up for training. For those of you tuning into the audio, thank you so much for joining us yet again on another Monday Mile Walk and Talk podcast. I've absolutely loved this episode and getting to know the incredible human behind the mask. Meeple Molly, Molly McCann, Monday Mile, it is a wrap. Woo! Have an absolutely wicked week.
Smashing day.